So, title of today's message, The God of Increase. God always wants to increase his people. In other words, God wants them to become better, to become bigger, and for them to do much more than they are doing currently. So we are serving a God who wants to see fruitfulness, who wants its people to multiply. We saw that in Genesis chapter 1 at the beginning of creation, when God created man, and you know in that man was male and female. The scripture says in Genesis chapter 1 verse 27, I read 27 and 28, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female. He created them. Then God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. So God, from the beginning of creation, has always revealed himself as a God who wants his people to increase. In fact, the very first thing he did was to command the man he created, of course, the male and the female, Adam and his wife, for them to multiply, for them to be fruitful. So we see that it is God's desire, and it is in God to work with his people that he created to multiply, to increase, and to be fruitful. The Bible also talked about the relationship of God, how it affected a man called Abraham. In Isaiah chapter 51, I'll read verse 2 and 3. The scriptures say, look to Abraham, your father, and to Sarah, who bore you. For I called him alone and blessed him and increased him. This is God saying that to the people of Zion in their distress. God is saying to them, using the example of how he walked with Abraham and increased Abraham. Abraham was alone. Remember, he was 75 years old when God called him in Genesis chapter 12. The Bible called Abraham out of his family, out of his country. Abraham had a wife who was barren. Things were not working for Abraham until God came into his life. And Abraham did obey God because God said to him to depart and he will show him a place where he will take him. And in that spirit of obedience, Abraham, who believed God, left where he was. He left his homeland, he left his family, and he began this walk with God. And we know how God blessed Abraham. God indeed did bless him. In fact, God blessed him with a very special son called Isaac. God found him alone, the Bible says in Isaiah 51 verse 2, and God blessed him and increased him. Though he was alone with his wife, barren wife, Sarah herself was 65 at that time when God called them. And by the time Sarah gave birth to Isaac, Sarah was 90 years old, because they had to wait 25 years before that promise was fulfilled. But God, who indeed keeps his word, though it might be long in the eyes of a man, God still honored his word in the life of Abraham. He blessed him, he increased him. Abraham did not just increase in terms of having a child, he also increased in wealth. Abraham became very wealthy. He was a wealthy man because of the blessing of God that was upon him. Now let's talk about his son Isaac, this special son, covenant son, the son of the promise that God gave to him. Now his son also grew to know and to serve the Lord. And I pray for you that your children also will grow to know and to serve the Lord. Now Isaac, his commitment to God was reflected in the way that he lived his life, because they are nomadic people, so they move from place to place. And Isaac also was a man that had cattle and he had servants, so they were moving from place to place. They got to a place, country of the Philistines, where he was dwelling. But there was famine there, and that was difficult for everyone, including shepherds and farmers, because there was not enough water, there was not enough vegetation, and all that was going on. And the Bible says in Genesis 26, concerning Isaac, the son of Abraham, I'll read verse 12 to 14. Then Isaac sowed in that land and reaped in the same year a hundredfold. And the Lord blessed him, and the man began to prosper and continued prospering, until he became very prosperous, for he had possessions of flocks and possessions of herds and a great number of servants. So the Philistines envied him. He was living among the Philistines. He was a stranger among them, or a foreigner, with his servants and with his herds. But we understand that even though it was a trying time where people, where we call in today's language, maybe financial, downturn, or something has happened to the economy, everything is bad. Well, there was drought, there was famine. He sowed. He didn't stop giving. He was still tilling the ground. He was still working hard. He was still doing what he needed to do in his own capacity. And God blessed him. God blessed Isaac. And Isaac became very prosperous. And he had possessions of many things. So serving God does not deny you being prosperous. In fact, he actually brings you into the place of prosperity. Serving God actually aligns you with prosperity. I'm talking of true prosperity, the kind of blessing that makes you rich that does not add sorrow to it. And so we saw in the life of Isaac how the man became very prosperous. Abraham was very rich, and the Bible says Isaac was even very, very rich because God was with him and God saw his faithfulness at a time when many were withheld. Isaac was giving and he was sowing. It's amazing, this God that we're serving. Jacob, one of the twin sons of Isaac, was also another man that experienced the blessing of God, the blessing of increase upon him. So I've spoken about Abraham, their grandfather, Isaac, the son of Abraham. Now I'm talking about the grandson of Abraham. Jacob is a twin brother of Esau. Now this Jacob was leaving home. The Bible says to us, Jacob was leaving home and he was in a wilderness, a place where there was nothing. It seems like he had no future. We are not even sure he was going to make it through that wilderness because there are wild animals in the wilderness, like we all know. So Jacob made a stone his pillow and slept in that wilderness. That place where he slept, he saw a stairway to heaven in his dream, and he saw angels going up and down that stairway or ladder, as some of the older versions of the Bible put it down. And then he realized that God was present in that place. So he called that place the house of God, Bethel. God is actually here in this wilderness with me, and I didn't know. God said to him these words, and I'll read it to you. Genesis chapter 28, I'll read verse 13 to 15. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham your father, and the God of Isaac. The land on which you lie I will give you and your descendants. Also your descendants shall be as the dust of the earth. You shall spread abroad to the west and the east, to the north and the south. And in you and in your seed, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Behold, I am with you, and will keep you wherever you go, and will bring you back to this land. For I will not leave you until I have done what I have spoken to you. God blessed Jacob and gave him a promise how he will increase his descendants, that they will cover the whole earth like the dust covered the earth. This same Jacob was the one that God changed his name into Israel. And we know that the name of the particular tribe or nation that we know today is actually the name of this Jacob we're talking about, the nation of Israel. Those are the descendants of this Jacob. You know, they went into Egypt as 70 people. The Bible says they were 70 in number when they went to Egypt during the time that there was famine and they were looking for food, and their brother Joseph was a ruler over Egypt. And they went into Egypt as a family because Joseph was already ahead of them. They welcomed them, said, bring my brother, bring my father, let them come here. We have food in Egypt. And so the children of Israel, 70, stayed there. But when they were leaving Egypt, after 430 years, the Bible talked about 600,000 men, not counting women and children. And usually children and women are probably double the number of men. So you're talking about almost 3 million people who are living in that place. God fulfilled this promise to Jacob. God blessed him. God increased him. He was only one man in that wilderness, sleeping on a stone pillow. But Exodus chapter 12, you see it written that now the people have been liberated from the slavery or the bondage of Egypt, and they're living 600,000 men, not counting children, not counting the women. Amazing. That God is a God who is interested in increasing you. He wants you to multiply. He wants you to be fruitful. So this is the God that I've come to present to you today. It's a God who wants to increase you, multiply you. It's a God who wants you to be fruitful. Now, I also want to say something. For those who are still having the wilderness experience, you are alone like Jacob in the wilderness. You are in a place where it seems like nothing is going on. It seems very little is what you have as your portion. I still want you to know that God has a plan for you. And please, I want you to be comforted from using the word of God. As I read earlier in Isaiah chapter 51, I want to read verse 3 to you. what the Lord says. Now, these people, they were experiencing troubled times, but God still was speaking to them in that time. These people have experienced decimation. They have experienced things that made them feel small. And these people do not know what the future will be like. But God was speaking to them in Isaiah chapter 51 verse 3. For the Lord will comfort Zion. So for those who are in the wilderness, I want you to receive the comfort of God. For the Lord will comfort our waste places. He will make a wilderness like Eden and a desert like the garden of the Lord. Joy and gladness will be found in it. Thanksgiving and the voice of melody. This is the plan of God for you. Those who are in the wilderness, those who are experiencing situations that seems like a desert. It seems like nothing is happening. It seems like a parched, dry land. That's what you're walking on. It seems like that's where you are. But God says in his plan, be comforted. You see, I will comfort Zion. I will comfort all our waste places. And I will make a wilderness like Eden. Is that not wonderful? God intends to turn around that situation. So I want you to just believe God for that this year. Beginning from this year, there's going to be a turnaround in situations. People who are living in parched land will begin to enjoy pleasure of an Eden. That's what God will do in our lives in Jesus' mighty name. I want us to know this as we progress in this message. Do not despise the days of small things. In fact, in Zechariah chapter 4 verse 10, the Bible says, who is he that despises? For who has despised the days of small things? God uses little things. Don't say it's only little. I don't have a lot. This is all I have. That little talent that you think you have, put it to use and commit it to God, and you'll be amazed at what God will do if you believe in this prophetic word that I speak to you today. God is going to increase you, but God also wants you to be faithful in that little thing that you have in your hand. And God will surely increase you. God will surely take you from where you are. He will take you to where he wants you to be. We know in Luke chapter 9, that a few people have followed Jesus Christ for a while, and they followed him right down to this desert place, far away from shops, far away from where they could get victuals. And so the disciples was wondering, sir, what's going to happen? It's getting to the evening. Should we tell them to start going back to their homes? Because there's nothing to provide for them except these 5 loaves of bread and 2 fishes. You know what he did with the 5 loaves of bread and 2 fishes? He blessed it. And he gave it to the people who were seated on the grass. And the Bible makes us to know he was able to feed 5,000 men, not even counting the children and the women. So this is the God that I've come to present to you today. It's a God that uses little things. Don't say God can't use this. There's another story I'm going to share with you from 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 8 to 15. There's a story of a woman, a widow. This woman had the only son. She's a widow. All that she had was a handful of flour and a little jar of oil. That's all she had. And it was a time of famine because there was no rain for 3.5 years in Israel. This woman also must have suffered. Elijah was supernaturally sustained by God at the brook. But then it came to a time when that brook dried up and God spoke to Elijah to go to the city where that widow woman was, the city called Zarephath. And so Elijah went to the city at the gate, saw this woman gathering sticks. What are you doing, woman? The woman said, I'm gathering these sticks so that I can eat my last meal, me and my son, so that we can die, because there is nowhere food is coming again. She has no husband to provide. There's no family. There's nobody. Everybody is going through a lot. Elijah said, please give me some water. And while she was going, she said, please, can you make some cake for me with your flour? Then she explained herself. Elijah said, go and do it. Don't worry. I will assure you that your flour will not fail. Neither your oil will it run out. The woman obeyed because she perceived that it was a man of God. And she went and made the cake for Elijah, made for herself and the earth. And the Bible says, because of the blessing and prophetic word that was spoken to Elijah to this woman, that this woman was sustained for many days. Her flour did not run out, neither did the oil run out. God still uses little things. And that's why I want you to know. She believed God. And that's the wonderful thing. She believed the man of God. The last example I want to give on this point is the example of Elijah the prophet. God spoke to him to go to Mount Horeb and wait. And we encounter the Lord there in 1 Kings chapter 19. We understand that Elijah went to that mountain and he was waiting to hear from God. And the Bible says, there was this strong wind that began to beat and break things, you know, was beating against the mountains. And Elijah said, that must be the Lord. But the scripture says God was not in that strong wind. With all the activity of the strong winds, God was not in it. Then after the strong winds came earthquakes. There was a great earthquake in that same place. And Elijah said, surely this time God must be in that earthquake. But God was not in it. So it was said in the scriptures. And then after the earthquake was fire. There was fire. Big fire. And Elijah said, God must be in this fire. But it also was recorded, God was not in that fire. But after that fire came a still small voice. And God was in that still small voice, speaking to Elijah what to do. Elijah was able to hear from God from a still small voice. Not in the strong, boisterous winds. Not in the earthquake. Not in the fire. But in the still small voice. Sometimes people are looking for big, big congregations. And they are looking for explosive preaching. Because they think God will be in it. And God can be in it. God can be in the big congregations. But the main thing here to take care is that God also can be in small places. God also can be in those quiet places. God also can be in those small congregations. God also can be in that prayer meeting. God will be there anywhere two or three call upon him. But people miss God because they are looking for God in the explosive, the big things. And I pray that this year you will be more discerning, that you'll be able to perceive where God is speaking to you. Because sometimes people are running from place to place, and I've had to counsel people like that. But what they actually need is before them. How many times we have looked at ourselves and we think we are ordinary. I'm just a woman. I've heard people say that. You will not hear me say things like that. I'm anointed of God. I don't care what you are doing. I know my place. And it's important for us to know this. And it all comes down to knowing God. Those ordinary things, God turns them into extraordinary. Now, I said ordinary things because of the way people look at it. Not because of what it is, but because of the way people look at those things. It was ordinary water that Jesus Christ turned into wine. The party stopped already. The people started looking at the master of ceremony. Why did you invite us? If you know you don't have any wine to entertain us. It was when Jesus' mother went to him and asked the son, please, can you help this situation so that embarrassment does not come to this man's family. It was jars that were filled with ordinary water, as men would say, that Jesus turned into sweet wine. That story is in John chapter 2, the wedding in Cana of Galilee. You see a lot of men of God today, so many rings in their hand. They want to be like the so-called big bishop. They're all playing to vanity. Everybody is a bishop. Everybody is an apostle. Everybody is this and that. Some people don't even know who they are. My sisters and brothers, I want you to know that whatever you are is unique. Whatever you have is unique. All you need to do is to use it faithfully to God. When the mother said to those people, whatever he says to you, do it. She knew what she was saying. She knew they would consider him as mad when he told them to go and fill the jars with water. I hope someone is hearing this. What you have, you better start valuing it and believe that God will turn what people see as ordinary in your business, God will turn it into extraordinary in the mighty name of Jesus. This year, you are going to have that testimony in Jesus' name. It was only a shepherd's rod that God needed Moses to have. God said to Moses, I want to send you there. He said, I cannot go and meet Pharaoh. Who will I say send me? God said, throw that rod down. The rod became a serpent. Whoa! Moses must have run away. He said, I've never seen this before. That's what God does. God turned the rod of Moses into a miracle working rod. Through that rod, Moses was able to get water out of the rock. Through that rod, he was able to wrought deliverance for the people of Israel when they were in Egypt. Through that rod that he pointed to the Red Sea, they were able to surmount the obstacle of the Red Sea and they were able to pass through it. God is saying to someone today, what's in your hand? What do you have in your hand? You're looking at other people all the time. And you forget what's in your own hand. It's a very pitiable state for anyone to despise what he has. I pray that you'll be able to see yourself the way God sees you. Your business is blessed in the name of Jesus Christ. Your children are blessed in the name of Jesus Christ. Many of you follow the standards of the world. And that's why we, as preachers, have to preach more about the truth of the word of God. Many of you follow the standard. The word decides how you think. The word decides how you perceive, what you value. But I think the clarion call is now to the church to come back to the word of God and for us to begin to esteem ourselves the way the word of God has called us, the way the word of God has taught us, to begin to esteem ourselves. That's the clarion call for any true minister today. But I pray that beginning from this year, that God will turn around the mindset of his people, that the people of the Lord will begin to think holy again. They will begin to think worthy again, that the people of the Lord will begin to think righteous again in the name of Jesus Christ. God uses ordinary people. People will pass by and look at someone and say, look at that person, is nothing. Who says it's nothing? It's you that says that. God didn't say that. David was looked down upon in his own family, because we understand that when God sent Prophet Samuel to the house of Jesse, the father of David, Jesse presented to Samuel 7 sons. David was not one of them. And Samuel, though he saw the first one and he thought, yes, this must be the one that God has chosen. God said, I have not chosen this one. Neither have I chosen the other one. 7 sons of Jesse, they were showed to Samuel, and Samuel heard from God that God has not chosen any one of them. Then Samuel had to ask Jesse, because he knew that God sent him to the house of Jesse. He said, are these all your sons? He said, no, I have one more. He said, where is that one? He said, that one is tending the sheep in the wilderness. He says, so you have one more. He said, we are not going to sit down until that one comes. Can you imagine? The one that they despised is the one that all of them are now standing up for till he comes. May God Almighty turn your life around this year in such a way, in Jesus' name. 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 1 to 13, we read the story. Then they said the boy came. He was a handsome boy, but rough, because of course he's been chasing his sheep around the wilderness and all the things. He's been fighting the lion and fighting bear. He's been so faithful in the little things he was doing. You know, somebody say you want everybody to appreciate you. Just know that God sees what you're doing. Have you rest your mind on that. From my experience, people are very, very selfish. A lot of people today just want what they want. I've been a pastor for 22 years, 23 years. So I've seen a lot of things, and I'm sure you can borrow from my experience. It's only when they need something they are humble. I've seen that, and I know that majority of people are like that. I'm talking of maybe 1 out of 20 are the people that will remain the same, remain humble. Most people, once they have, you see that change quickly. It means that was not their real personality. When we'll be together, me and my fellow ministers, we laugh about these things, because it's a common experience. We all see this all the time. When people need a job, or when people are praying, oh, pastor, pray with me, I need a wife, or I need this. They are very humble, but let them get what they want. You will see their true nature. And it's just human nature as well. But it shouldn't be so for a child of God. That only shows the mind, like I said earlier, of the world is the one that the people in the church today have. David was a shepherd boy. God chose him ahead of his brothers, though he was not even reckoned with, because they didn't present him to Samuel. But you see, God, when he was going to present David to Samuel, they were all standing. Once again, I pray for someone this year in the name of Jesus Christ, that those who have despised you and looked down upon you, and they think you can't be anything, before the end of this year, I prophesy in the name of Jesus Christ that those people will be standing when you are coming, in Jesus' name. Christ's disciples were full of men who were ordinary men according to the measure of the world. They were fishermen, sinners, tax collectors. Those were the people that gave up all that they were doing to follow Christ in righteousness. They didn't remain sinners. They didn't remain tax collectors. You saw the story of Zacchaeus, who was seeking Jesus. He was a tax collector, hated by people. He was a scammer. But Jesus Christ saw his heart and said, Zacchaeus, come. Come down from that sycamore tree. Tonight, salvation has come to your house. Jesus went to the house of Zacchaeus. And Zacchaeus said, oh, now I know what righteousness means. And he showed with his commitment. He said, everything that I have taken, I'm giving back. He was making restitution. He's giving back what he has taken by scamming people. How many scammers today come to church, say they've given back? They will be telling you about their houses in special places in town that they built with the house of scamming, but nobody's doing restitution. That's another area again of Christianity that people have to know as we enter into this last era before Jesus comes. People must do restitution when it's possible. Christ's disciples were, you know, ordinary men, but this became pillars of the church. They became spiritual giants. They became people that the world says they were turning the world upside down. Even Christ himself, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the Bible says he was born in a manger, one of the lowest places anyone could be born. He wasn't even born in an inn or in a hospital. He was born in a manger with animals like, you know, donkeys and sheep. That was where he was born as a baby. His mother had him in a manger. He grew up as a carpenter. Even when he began to speak to the people of Galilee, that's one of the things they said in Matthew chapter 13. They said, is that not the carpenter's son? They despised him because of his background. But they didn't know that inside this young man, this is the Lord of all. This is the King of Kings. They didn't see it, because men only do by, and I have a word God has given me recently, that men only observe, men do not discern. It's only those who are spiritual that discern. Men only observe. They look at activities. They hear words. But they cannot discern the motive of the words. They cannot discern the activity behind the activity. It's only those who are mature spiritually that can discern. But men only observe. And by that observation is where they have their opinion. Jesus Christ, when Philip was brought to Christ, Philip remembered that, I've got a brother, Nathanael. I need to go and look for him and bring him to Christ. And then he got to Nathanael and said to him, that's in John chapter 1, verse 43. Let me read from verse 43, this story of Philip and Nathanael. It's very interesting. And this is where I'm closing this message today. The following day, John chapter 1, verse 43, I'll read from 43 to 46. The following day, Jesus wanted to go to Galilee, and he found Philip and said to him, follow me. So Philip was found by the Lord. Now Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, we have found him of whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. And Nathanael said to him, can any good come out of Nazareth? Now, I don't know who those Nathanaels are today around you. We're saying, can anything good come out of you? I have good news. And the good news is something good beyond their imagination is going to come out of you. Beginning from this year. But also, I must say to you, there are certain keys that you need to understand to increase, which I'll be sharing with you next week, next Sunday, by the grace of God. Those keys, you don't want to miss that. The blessing for increase does not just happen. It happens because something triggers those blessings. And those ones I want to share with you, particularly in the next message. So I want you to watch out. But then I want you to remember that Nathanael asked, can any good thing come out of Nazareth? Yes, he did. And you are also going to manifest to your own time. You are going to manifest to your own generation soon in the name of Jesus. May God bless you.